Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
If someone said you could look more beautiful overnight, wouldn't you give it a try? My secret is Dreamcast. I tried it, and I've never looked so good. Want to know how it works?
Dreamcast's 128-bit processor makes Lara more beautiful than ever before.
So I look flawless, even on the run.
The Dreamcast Beauty Treatment, as used by Lara Croft in Tomb Raider The Last Revelation.
Even on the run. Is that about her jiggly parts?
Yeah.
I think it's about the jiggly parts.
Jiggly parts. Hey, y'all. What's up? This is Scott Johnson. I am one of the hosts of this here show called Play Retro. And I was in the mood for a game where the main character spends most of her time in the T-pose for all the games she's in. Oh, good news. I found some. Now, let's go get some relics from the bottom of some strange caves around the world and fight some dinosaurs with my two pistols. How come I have to squat on top of these weird save point things? Anyway, just give me a menu. These tombs won't raid themselves.
Mm-mm. And I am your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I think these polygons are trying to seduce me. Just look at the size of those things. The proportions, the ratios. Yep, that T-Rex is huge, and his tiny arms and pointy teeth are calling my many names. Lara, Lara, Lara Croft.
Yeah.
Also, I put my butler in the freezer of my mansion. Am I doing it right?
Yeah.
It's like I'm doing it right.
You're doing it right.
Now let's do backflips. Yeah. This is the game. This is the...
Yeah, it is. Just do some nice slow backflips.
Yeah.
Backflips.
So, yeah, backflips.
Yep.
When you black your eye out, when you do it, there's no way to do this.
No, you can't totally do it justice. But she does, Lara Croft does lots of backflipping.
Lara.
And she got to open some cave doors and find some cool shit. That's her deal.
And sometimes she encounters T-Rexes because you've completely forgot about all the weird-ass aliens and everything else, because the more recent Tomb Raiders don't really address that as much.
No, I don't think she's fought a dinosaur in any of those new ones. But
no aliens, no dinosaurs, not too many exotic animals in the newer things like you would see back in the day.
Yeah, but I played a little Tomb Raider 1 this week in prep for the show, and I killed some monkeys.
Oh, yes, I did too. I was kind of... Oh, we should totally talk about that. That kind of hurt my feelings. We'll talk about that.
I did too. I felt like there was way more animal death than my memory serves. I thought more about dinosaurs and aliens, but
no. one of the father of Lara Croft. He talks about that. Toby Gard talks about that.
Toby Croft is his real first name.
Toby Croft.
Old Toby Croft with his daughter.
Wait till you hear how she got her name.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be a good one.
So I've been spending all my time in the last week. Admittedly, this is not retro gaming, but I've been playing a lot of Starfield and a lot of Cyberpunk 2077.
And I was like, 27, what's that?
The reason Cyberpunk's been getting so much of my time is because they put out a new expansion called Phantom Liberty, but also they put out a 2.0 patch, which basically it's like a whole new game. It's almost like that game was in early access publicly for 3 years, and they just never called it that,
which is true,
because the game is so good now.
It was so what's the word I'm looking for? They really bit off more than they could chew.
It's a huge game. Well, yes, and released before they should have is what they did.
Yes,
they should have waited. They should have never been. They were a little too concerned about making sure PS4 and Xbox One got their version of the game. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. The next gen console versions were okay. PC version was definitely running the best, but even then there were problems and bugs and issues, and it just, you know, left a lot of sour taste for a lot of gamers.
Can't wait for like 20 years to pass by and get some perspective on it and be able to talk about it here on Play Retro.
Yeah, because in 20 years that game will be retro. Think of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, the reason I brought that up is not just because that's what I played, but Cyberpunk is so good now. But part of the reason I love it is they've done such a good job in world building to capture some of that cassette futurism stuff that, you know, and people forget that the whole Cyberpunk rule book and all that stuff was written in the 80s, early 80s.
Exactly.
And it was really, you know, prescient in a lot of ways, but also some of it has the trappings of that era. And the game doesn't shy away from that stuff. Like very, very rarely is something truly wireless in the game. You're having to jack into stuff a lot. Lots of cables. You pull it out of your arm, which has like a, you got a built-in port in your hand. You pull out like a retractable cable and jam that into a computer and hack it. Like that kind of stuff. Some of the devices and props in the game are big, thick, you know, fat looking electronics from old times, but also, you know, retro future kind of. And the whole time I'm just like, man, I want to make something that looks like that. That has like rotating wheels for like tape to tape, reel to reel bullshit. No one's going to do that in the year 2077, but this game's pretty sure we are. And I love that. I love that about it. And so if you're a retro head, but you wanted to be doing something modern, that game, a 2.0 patch is something incredible. It's very, very good. But and I also say, I don't know how it's even possible. It feels like magic. That thing runs as well as it does on a Steam Deck. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They even have a setting in there literally called Steam Deck. You choose it. It just maximizes everything. It knows what it's dealing with for the Steam Deck and behaves appropriately and is one of the smoothest, cleanest, best-looking experiences you can have on that device. It does chew through battery and blow that fan real loud, but still, it's worth doing. Anyway, so that's what I did, Brian. What'd you hang around?
Well, first of all, I want to say that we got to do an episode on Snatcher. I mean, that's going to happen, right? We got a couple of old Cyberpunk games, Beneath a Still Sky and Snatcher, some of my favorite older school Cyberpunk stuff. All right, so what have I been doing? Well, let me tell you what I did on Monday night.
Tell me.
Monday night, I was going to stream Tomb Raider for all of those faithful who tune into my Twitch channel. And instead, I had an 8-year-old come over, and she challenged me to some DDR dance-off. That's right.
Okay.
2023, had to bring out the old PlayStation 2 and my two Konami dance pads, and we
These are the ones you took to down. You took them to Nashville or wherever you went.
Nashville. That's where we went. Went to Nashville.
Not Nashville. Asheville or
We went to Asheville, North Carolina. And right, me and Ibbot, we danced the night away, but we did it like in cooperation mode. This is an 8-year-old. Talking some smack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, competitive.
Like, I'm doing more steps than you. And she's right. Mm-hmm. But I'm not having that in my house. You not coming up in my house and going to tell me that you're going to dance me off. No way.
Sure.
So we got to business. Mm. And sure enough, that's what I did on Monday night. I got the whole family involved. Audrey also got on there. I got some footage of that. But man, when I did that, I was like, wow. I really need to play some DDR modern. Surely there must be a modern version of this. Well, sort of, kind of. There is an arcade. Home stuff, pretty non-existent. There are some things on the PlayStation 5. I looked it up. And they all involve linking your cell phone.
Yeah.
And so you dance around. I played all these things. Like the Kinect had a dancing thing that you could do where it would detect your motion.
Sure.
You know, there's all kinds of dancing games. But DDR is where it's at. And if you click on that Twitter link I just posted, or I posted earlier, next to that, there's a little announcement teasing a new DDR thing coming out. I don't know what it is.
Really?
If it's going to be a new thing in the arcade, or if it's going to be some kind of home thing, but DDR needs to make it back to the home. And if not, I've got my trusty DDR on my PlayStation 2 and my two Konami dance pads. If you haven't experienced that kind of gameplay, that tactile gameplay of stomping on, you know, on squares, man, that's a lot of fun. Well, there's a bunch of stuff on Amazon that are like standalones.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get into that ganky stuff. I want songs that I know, like that David Bowie song.
Yeah, or even dance, newer stuff that you're not going to be able to get on.
That'd be good too. New stuff would be good too. But
That'd be cool. I don't know. Like the closest we have to anything new like this feels like to me was VR with Beat Saber. That feels like the closest we've come to a really popular rhythm game using new tech or whatever. So if DDR is going to make a comeback, do they do it in a way that's like, well, it's going to have to be dance pads like the old days. They'll be wireless though, so charge them up, or you know, I don't know. How do they do it this time around?
The dance pads. There's something about the dance pads. And so, you know, the Switch, they have their little dance game too, and you wear the little bands. If you got any of the exercise stuff, you just basically put a Joy-Con, you strap it on your body somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's neat and all, but I want something that's going to force me to be kind of not cheaty. Let me give an example.
Give it.
So when Wii Bowling first came out.
Ooh, sure.
Ethan used to tear our butts up. That's my son. He used to kill us.
What, you turn around to bowl and then he would jam a hot poker in your butt? Or I don't get it.
No. Yeah, that would burn me up too. But it burned me up because, you know, I'm all out there trying to do my perfect form, you know, thinking that that will translate to the controller. It doesn't.
Yeah. Because you're a pro, digital bowling, you take it serious. It's not some throwaway thing for you.
I take that very serious. So I'm doing perfect form like I'm at the bowling alley. I'm totally immersed in the role-playing activity of bowling.
Yeah.
And Ethan is just sort of flicking his wrist. He just flick. And I'm like, that's not even how you bowl.
My son did the same BS. He would do the same. He would almost like just flippantly throw a ball and get strikes every time I hated it.
Yeah. That's BS. Yeah. I don't want to cheat the system. And I feel like those dance pads, you kind of have to hit it. You said it's very tactile, right? You have to hit it. Yeah. The dance thing with the phone is just you holding your phone in your hand, and I guess it's supposed to detect.
So what is it? Motion tracking? Is that what's going on?
I'm assuming it's detecting, you know, your rotation of the gyration, the rotation of the gyration.
Well,
of the
things. Gyroscopes and all that would kick in,
right?
And then it would just have to would have to read that off an app or whatever wirelessly to the device. But that's how the Wiimote version of Just Dance worked, I guess.
Yeah. But it's such a cheat because I was sitting there, I danced like just spot on to what they were doing on the screen. And I did pretty good there. But then I also just stood there and just said,
And
I was like, I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's bullshit.
I hate that because it really does take away the mystique of it. It's just like,
right.
What's the point? You know,
what's the point? If I can just, if I'm going to get up here, because that's half the fun is the competitiveness part of it. And that's what I loved about competing with this DDR, the 8-year-old. Yeah. She loved it. She loved it. This tech is not old to her. It's this tech.
No,
right?
It's nothing like this to her. This is maybe even new tech, you know?
Right.
She sees that and goes, what? It corresponds with every foot step I take on right, up, down, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I feel like the future of Dance Dance Revolution requires a tactile input.
Yes.
If you don't do that, what is the point of doing
it? What is the point? And my favorite is whenever I forget what song it is, but whenever I hear it, I always know it because it's one of the songs that Hal does in Malcolm in the Middle. Do you remember when he did the whole competitive DDR thing?
Oh,
do you
remember those episodes? Vaguely. Yeah, I remember it happening. I don't remember details.
Those were hilarious.
Been a long time.
Those were hilarious. But yeah, I always feel like Hal every time I'm doing that. But but that's what I did this week.
And then you went and made meth in your Winnebago.
That's what else you would come on when you step away and you go, you know, you're excited in the moment, but then you step away. It's like, what am I doing with my life? And then you go, okay, time to hit out to the, you know, to the meth bus.
You know what we should do if we want to really celebrate cyberpunk games in the history of that style of gaming.
Right.
And want to go full retro. Did you ever play Syndicate back in the day?
I did not, but I have watched some video and that you're right. That is.
Syndicate
That's
ruled.
Up there. Syndicate
ruled,
is awesome.
Dude. Such a great game. Even that, it's underrated because hardly anyone played it. But when they tried to reboot that as a shooter not too many years ago, probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was called Syndicate something. So cool. Oh my gosh.
Now I'm looking at it thinking maybe I did play some Syndicate.
Did you?
I'm Bullfrog Productions, RTS. Did I play some of this? I can't remember.
There's a bunch
I'm sure
of them,
once
though.
I start playing, I'll be like, oh yeah, I fired this up on the Ambernick or something. That's usually what ends up happening.
Well, here's some others. The Blade Runner adventure game was amazing. Beneath the Steel Sky was really good. I never played Hell, a cyberpunk thriller, which was what, 95 or something.
Right.
Rise of the Dragon. I don't remember that. This says the top four are Snatcher,
Snatcher's great.
Yeah, Snatcher's
that's a
class.
That's old school too. That's like 88.
Yeah, and that was like a Hideo Kojima joint, I think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I love that one. I played a good bit of that one.
System Shock number two, three. That's getting a remake actually, and then Shadowrun number two, tied for two, and then Deus Ex is number one. That's probably retro enough for us.
That's a really good list of
Deus
cyber.
Ex One, dude. Yeah. Oh man, that thing was so ahead of its time.
We could always pivot. We haven't announced what we're doing next week. I'm just saying we could always pivot.
You know what? In the shadow of the Cyberpunk 2077 rebirthing itself like the Phoenix, it's so good. We should look back. Why don't
we're pivoting.
We? We're going. Let's do Syndicate specifically.
All right, we're pivoting.
All right, Syndicate and. Once we do a little research, we can make sure it's, you know, enough for a full show. But I think it is. Syndicate's rad. Freaking Bullfrog did it. It's an RTS, basically, sort of. And it's amazing. It's so good.
I put it in the notes. Syndicate and cyberpunk shit.
We're doing it. We're shifting gears, you guys. Not today, though. Today, we're doing our thing.
and it's not DDR. It's actually going to be about the Tomb Raider.
It's about the Tomb Raider.
The Lara Croft.
The Lara Croft Tomb Raider. Oh, real quick here. Sorry, I gotta just pull up the wrong. I got the wrong links doing the
I
wrong
love
thing.
That Dreamcast commercial though. I never played the Tomb Raider on the Dreamcast or the Saturn for that matter.
Dreamcast or Saturn? Like
neither one, because there was what three was on the Dreamcast, yeah. And the first one was originally developed for Saturn, so never had any of the Sega Tomb Raider experience. Mine was always with Sony.
I want to say I played, I think maybe the first one. My first experience may not have been the whole game, but playing some of it may have been either a Saturn demo.
Yeah, I better say they were handed this. This game was on every demo disc you could find. That's how I played it the first time too. I believe it was on a PlayStation. I got it in a PlayStation magazine.
Well, let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
This is it.
Shall we play a game?
Why not? Tomb Raiders 1 through 3, the OG Tomb Raiders, the jiggly-looking, bad polygon Saturn PlayStation 1, you know.
The ones on deck for that remaster that's supposed to hit this next February. Currently is where it's scheduled, I believe, in next February 2024. So
I thought it was still this year. I don't know why I thought that.
That was it still this year? I think it is next year.
Okay.
But
you're probably
I'm
right.
Still stoked.
I remember nothing. This was the hugely still to this day very influential series starring Laura, whatever you want, Croft.
It's the matter of fact, there's a reason that her name is Laura, L-A-R-A, because originally it was going to be like you spell L-A-U-R-A, but the Americans were all pronouncing it wrong. This is one of those British jams, right? This is from Core, right? Not the podcast.
Not the podcast.
The core design.
Now defunct Core Design. They don't exist anymore. But they were published by Eidos and what are their names? Can't think of the other. We've talked about them before. And we talked about Legacy of Cain, the 3D ones. What were those called?
Those guys.
Soul Reaver games.
Soul Reaver.
These were huge. Some would say groundbreaking. And also one of the first examples of like, hey, check it out. Female protagonist in our video games. That's kind of rare these days. So you had that going on. And 27 years later, still going strong. Although, I don't know. We're in a weird thing right now where Square Enix, for a while, owned Crystal Dynamics and those newer Tomb Raider games, the new trilogy, three games. Fantastic, by the way. They're really good and worth picking up on the cheap almost anywhere. And they're super next gen looking and they're great games. They were working on a fourth and then Square Enix shed itself of all of its Western developers and are focused inward on all their Japanese stuff, you know, Final Fantasy and everything else. So now I believe what's going on is Crystal Dynamics owns the rights to do whatever's next, but they have to, you know, shell everything out to do it. So I don't know what that means ultimately for the franchise, if we're going to get any new ones, but no one can deny how influential and huge Tomb Raider is in the long haul. It's a big deal.
Dude. Yeah. Like when I played the first Tomb Raider, I was blown away. I couldn't stop playing, even though I hate tank controls, and that's essentially what you're getting here with the first Tomb Raider and with the first three, at least. It's all tank controls, meaning that you drive Lara like a tank, and if you go into certain moves, you're not coming out until you get done, until she's done moving. Yeah. And lots of times that may mean death.
Yeah, it's not great, that part of it. It doesn't hold up as well as you'd hope in terms of control. But, you know, we're talking about early PlayStation controller, no analog sticks. Like, they're learning. 3D is still a new space. You know, this
is the biggest guy on the block at this point is going to be your Mario 64. And that's where everybody's taking their cues for how cameras work and how you want to platform and that type of stuff. So still early on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. An amazing game, though. It sounded like this. So here's some audio. That's Lara Croft shooting a bear.
That's a very I ran into that bear. Yeah, I forgot about that bear.
It's a rough bear.
Yeah, it's pretty early on in level one when you're probably going to run into that bear. You fall through, you try to make a jump, you fall, and it's like, oh, there's a bear in this cave or this tomb. And so you had to start blasting. Auto-aim is a great thing, thank God, because this game is more about exploring than it really is about the combat. There is combat, but it's light for the most part, and you have to engage the combat mode. I always do it on the PlayStation, so I know it's just like that top little triangle button, wink.
Yeah.
And then I get into my mode for shooting, and then she aims, auto-aims everybody, and you just fire away. And those guns are very satisifying the way they sound too.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, no, the sound works really top notch. They got even better with 2 and 3. It's a fun game to play in the era it was big.
Right.
And the tank controls are frustrating as shit. You're just like, what?
Except for this person you're showing, for whatever the hell reason, you're showing the world champion Tomb Raider player because he's having no trouble. This person is like flipping, doing things. I'm like, holy crap, that's how you can do that?
Yep.
Jumping is super important in Tomb Raider, and learning how to jump more than just straightforward. You know, most games just jump straight. So like in Mario, you get the back jumps. You can do more. You can do higher things with the back jumps. You can do kind of double jumps. You can do side jumps.
That weird side jump is fun if you can pull it off. That's pretty fun.
I love it. It's one of the most effective. It lands the most efficiently out of all the jumps. I can usually pace it just right. This is all based on a grid system too, by the way. We haven't said that on Tomb Raider, but
The entire world is a grid. Yeah. It's weird because you go back and look now, because I don't think 3 was as much that way, but 1 and 2, you can kind of tell. It feels spaced that way, right? There's a math to it. 3 mixed it up quite a bit, and the games past then were much more dynamic, but the worlds in here, they feel like they're cookie cutter pieces, and it's okay. It's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, you're not playing. Every room has a mathematically relative space going on.
Right. Including each one you remove. So you can see it after a while. You're like, oh, when I push the D-pad forward, she walks, you know, this many steps. And then when she jumps backwards, she may go more steps than that. And that's kind of, that can cause some frustration, especially during the platforming stuff, because you'll have to be on the edge sometimes to make the jump, especially later on. This game is brutal, by the way. I don't think we haven't mentioned that yet.
It's hard.
Tomb Raider. Yeah. It is hard. It is old school, freaking hard. This thing wants you to die, and that's kind of where the idea for the game come from. Anyway, it is based on what they wanted to make was a Indiana Jones type game, right, where you're an explorer and you're looking for treasures, and everything is a trap, just like in Indiana Jones always having to defeat the traps. You're kind of the same thing with Lara here. Oh, this is something I did not remember at all. Not at all. I thought all assets in this game were 3D, you know, except for like the texture maps on the walls and stuff, but I thought it was all 3D. There's 2D sprites on some things, and it's very striking, because you're walking along and you're like, okay, 3D, 3D, 3D. And then all of a sudden you'll see, what am I playing, Doom?
Yeah.
Because you're walking around something and, you know, the sprites like trying to follow you around to make sure that you don't see any flat edges.
Yeah. They had to cut a lot of corners to make that stuff look right.
Yeah. They moved along pretty quickly in the first one. They moved way too fast on the second and thirds. But on the first one, they really had to get this thing put together.
Well, here's what's funny about it. The first one was so anticipated. It made every cover of every gaming magazine long before it came out. It was the number one anticipated title.
Yes.
Kind of across the board. And I remember at the time, Next Generation Magazine and GamePro and everything else were just, everyone's waiting for Tomb Raider. Everyone's waiting for Tomb Raider. Yeah. The pressure was
Lara Croft is easily marketable, right? She's got sex appeal in a market otherwise lacking any sex appeal, other than, you know, exploitive work. She's not exploited. You know, that was one of the things they were trying to do. Toby Gard, especially, who's the creator, and he has fought really hard over the years to kind of push back and go, okay, she's not just a sex symbol, right? She has some qualities of sex.
Sure,
symbol,
she but could be attractive, I suppose, to the right person.
Right.
It's a little weird, so but sure.
He apologizes a lot. It's really weird how he talks about it, because it's kind of like all of us do. It's like, there's always that stupid argument. It's like, well, would you want to see Superman if he was a big flabby guy? No, you want to see somebody muscle bound, yeah. Even though muscles have absolutely zero to do, shit to do with flying.
Right.
So it's
they've got shit to do with flying.
Right.
I've never thought of it.
You don't need
that.
Right. So there's creative license there. So are you going to make a straight stick of a female protagonist, or
of course
not. A little bit
she's going to be
curvy,
in shape. You know? She's going to be a little curvy. She's going to be feminine. She's going to be all those things, of course. And she's going to be tough as nails. And I bought into it. I was like, yeah, she's a badass. I want to see Lara Croft succeed. Yes. At her various attempts to kill goats and whatever she has to kill. It's mostly she killed, there's no goats, but
right. The first one, Toby Gard talks about that. I read a great interview from 98 where he kind of, he left pretty early on, in the development. It was after the first one and they kept trying to milk him. They kept trying to, it's like, I got nipples. Can you milk me? Yeah. No, he was trying, they were trying to milk the franchise. And he was just like, no, that's enough. I'm out.
I don't want
and
to do
so
this.
He had a lot of vitriol to spit out on these early interviews and stuff. But he talks about this. Someone had asked him. It's like in GameDeveloper.com's interview with Toby Gard from 98. They wanted to know why there were so many endangered animals as enemies in the game. Well,
tons
first of all,
them.
He's
bears,
tons
freaking
of them.
Monkeys and bonobos and freaking
right.
All these weird animals. Actually, some of them just don't straight up belong where they are. Like,
right.
Why is there a bear in this tomb? Why is he in there?
So his response to this was, I wanted the game to start off with enemies that were reasonably realistic so that the player could begin to believe in the Tomb Raider world and hopefully be more surprised when it all went weird at the end, which it does. By the time you get through, you fought a T-Rex, you fought a doppelganger zombie of Lara Croft. There's very few humans do you kill. But
there's some guards, but not
there's
many.
There's a few. There's a few, but for the most part, yeah. Because is it one where you fight the skateboarder?
No, that's
is that the first
two,
one? That two?
I think that's two, and in that, three you come up against some evil guard people. So
right,
but the first game you're right, mostly void of people, which I think I really liked about it. It's part of the reasons that a lot of people had a problem with the reboot first game,
right?
That came out in 2013 or whatever it was. The people's problem with it, and I kind of agree with it at the time, it was really focused on other people and not tombs and weird ideas inside of tombs. And it just got more, it was kind of more militaristic or whatever. They changed that with the second and third games, but the first game was kind of full of that, and that was part of their story plan, so I don't really fault it in the long run. But this first game's a lot more about, there's tigers in here for some reason. Let's kill those. Okay.
Yeah.
And then
he does. He says that he thinks it's bad to kill humans. So this was the options. So you would expect, right? You want her to feel heroic. So you got to go against something dangerous, right? We don't want her fighting chipmunks or something. So I mean, the rats are annoying. The bats are the worst.
Freaking chipmunks would be great though. Now you want me to want it. Now I want it. So
that's that. They don't do that until Tomb Raider 3, the one that made me feel the worst about myself. I hated killing animals in Tomb Raider 3.
Tomb Raider 3 was interesting. Well, we'll get to that in a sec, but Tomb Raider 3 is a real interesting evolution of the series. And it would be the last of these, right? These OG
this
ones.
First.
So I got a little story. When I was this first game came out in 96. I picked it up day one, and I'm pretty sure I played it on PS1 for the full playthrough. I think that's what I did.
Right, right.
I played.
By the way, you have not been
setup.
Playing the PS1 graphics. Go ahead.
Oh no, hell no. This is like a semi remastered modded up thing.
Yeah.
So, and you'll see when I show video for 2 how shitty it used to really look.
Right.
But anyway, my daughter is 2. All right, she was born in 1994. Wow. She's a little 2-year-old girl, and she hadn't really played a ton of video game stuff. Just simple stuff with me, you know, sitting in my lap or whatever. She's very young. And she didn't really play this, but she would sit in my lap and try to watch me play it. And she had a really hard time. So for the longest time, this was called the game. No, how the scary game with the lady in it. That was the name of it.
It is scary. Those animals are scary.
It was super scary. So she would say, Daddy, can I sit on your lap and watch you play the scary game with the lady in it? And right. I would say, yep, let's do this. And we'd play Tomb Raider. And she would be mostly fine until we'd get to some chasing around dinosaurs or, you know, a big cat's after me. And she would like change directions and go, Dad, I can't watch this. So we'd have to go play Mario or something else. But to this day, I'm always like, she'll say, Dad, what's a cool game right now? I've been looking for something on my Xbox. And I'll go, have you tried the scary game with the lady in it? And she's like in her 20s now. And she thinks that's funny as hell. Or I think it's funny as hell. And she thinks I'm annoying.
It's good to laugh at your emotional damage.
Yeah,
of course.
You have to be there for them, with them, around them. You know, it's good. But here's the other thing I was going to say about the grid system in the game that becomes obvious now these days. You look at it and you just tell everything's equally spaced or whatever. But that's important because her moves were based on that math. So if she jumped backward, did her back jump, it was exactly one grid movement. If she did the weird forward thing or the side thing, it was exactly two, the side thing was like two squares, and it was exactly 2 squares. Yeah. And so, in those days, that's how you would want to handle that math. These days, you can have much more dynamic environments that aren't based on any kind of grid system. And the character adjusts for a jump and makes it or doesn't make it based on more loose, like liquid rules. You know what I'm saying?
You have nailed it, because that's exactly what Mario 64 does. It has we've listened to a bunch of interviews about that. It is intentionally it cheats a little bit so that the player can get to where they need to be. This game is precision, and it's really odd because they give you a high level precision control system. It's just clunky, but.
No,
they require you sometimes to perform a perfection because it can be attained, right? It can be you can literally like hit the forward button 2 times and it'll be exactly where you expect it to be.
Yeah,
so that's a really good observation.
Yeah, you can get the math done quicker than you can do memorize the level or whatever.
Yeah,
because the math will tell you that, oh, well, I'm in the middle of this square. If I do that jump forward, it's going to land me in the third square over at the exact same place my feet are now in this square. Even though they did some tricks with textures to make it seem dynamic or whatever. Like some people may see that and go, oh, that's an old way of doing games. Mm-hmm. I see it as innovative as shit. Because
it was
for its
so
time.
Innovative.
Yeah, for its time. This is a stepping stone that's required for the 3D revolution in gaming. And I think it's fascinating. Like somebody sat around and said, well, how are we going to do this in 3D space? Well, make it all equidistant from each other. And then she can move within that world and do it without too much trouble. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. It's an amazing idea.
It is really, it was one path. They took it. It's really of its time though, because if you try to play it now, it's pretty counterintuitive at first. But the more I played it, the more it started selling
to
it with
me. You get used to it.
But this person, like I've said before, whoever Scott, he found this world champion Tomb Raider player, because this person is controlling like Laura, like no problem. This is not my experience. I'm constantly running into walls, mainly because I'm using my analog stick. So I'm using the PS5 controller lots of times, or the Steam Deck when I was playing this.
That may be tricky or different.
Yeah. So, and even when I was using the D-pad, I seem to drift either left or right. I don't seem to ever want to go just straight forward or just straight back. So I end up always, Laura's always like running in like circles. And boy, if you try to take a, if she's turning a little bit left, she's turning a lot left.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having a lot of trouble navigating through. If I had time to go from jumping from one platform to the other, that was no problem. The run and jump is really hard because she can't do just a forward jump without moving first.
Yeah.
So that that
it is weird. It's a little weird to get used to that. And you're right. Counterintuitive based on all the innovations since then, but it's fine.
Oh yeah. This one is definitely some kind of mod, because in the first release, Laura's ponytail did not make the final cut. It gets tucked in behind her backpack. This one has her ponytail
moving
flying around all willy-nilly.
This version is, this is the 96 one, but it's been modded, it says here, to do widescreen. So this 12 by, or
yeah,
this,
the widescreen fix
ratio, right? And some of the physics stuff, as you mentioned. So definitely an improvement. I don't know where you get this. It's probably some modified ROM or something.
It looks good though.
But it does look all right. Now let's move over to two. Now two came pretty quick, the very next year.
They had like 8 months development time. After the first one landed and they said, ooh, look at all the sales we're getting. Let's fire back up, team.
Yep.
Even though the team hadn't slept, this is also in the interviews, the team hadn't slept. There was divorces going on because people weren't home for like 2 years on that first one. But they kept promising royalty checks as long as those developers stayed at Core.
Sure. But you think people think that crunch is a new problem in gaming?
No, this was terrible. Like I said, divorces, health problems, people sleeping in cabinets, you know, just any way to get it done within the few years they had.
Yeah, it's like, hey, well done, team. We published this game. Sorry about your apnea. Sorry about your diabetes. Sorry about your heart attack. And I'm sorry about your marriage. But we made it. We nailed it. Good job.
But you're gonna get a few royalties or some kind of you're gonna get some kind of incentive checks. In as long as you don't leave and try to sue us. And so
there are a couple of motivators as to why you should all be happy and stay here and now make two. Speaking of two, here's a little audio.
8 months.
Now, this is a good time to bring this up. So, more shooting, right? Here's the thing. The games don't really have music. They do, but it's sparing and it's for certain moments. Most of the game is handled in kind of musical silence with just a lot of ambient noise. And I have to say, that's one of my favorite things about them. And revisiting them was a reminder of this, because a lot of games now we're like movies. Movies are afraid not to have a blanket of sound always happening with music for any given scene. Once in a while, they get daring. We just saw that that Bourne Ultimatum.
Yeah, Barnes of Ultimatum.
Yeah, right. Ultimatum has this amazing scene in Morocco where they're fighting in that room. Or I think it was Morocco. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and they cut all music there. It's just them fighting and sounds of fighting. It's incredible. Like, it's really intense. Speaking of whole movie versions, like No Country for Old Men, famous for featuring very little music. There really isn't any. There's some discordant sound at the beginning, and then most of the movie is without music. And it's a creative aesthetic choice to make that really changes how you feel about certain scenes. And video games that don't have music soundtracks trip me the F out, because they're so much more cinematic. I feel like I'm the stakes are higher somehow. It's hard to explain. It takes away of artificiality that exists when the music's there, and I really respect it.
Yeah, it definitely makes you, it's kind of more immersive, because you have to depend on your own emotions instead of having someone to inform your emotions with music.
Yes.
And it's thrilling. And it used so sparsely that when they do have music, it's usually like, oh, I'm about to encounter a boss or something that's going to be more difficult. And so you automatically, since you've been in silence for so long, it amps you up. Now they do make use of your emotional energy at that point, and I like it. It's used sparingly. It's really good.
Yeah. Now this one is actual footage from a PS one capture, and is it the 4:3 ratio? It is jiggly, horrible, you know, texture maps and all that stuff. But she had the physics hair by now, and it's a huge improvement on just how the game felt. That's a small little detail, but I remember thinking, oh man, she's animated now. Look at her.
It was big on the to-do list, because a lot did not change between one and two. It was mostly just the finishing polish.
It's the same math issue too. Like the game adheres to a grid. Like her trying to jump to this boat right now, that boat is literally two grid spaces away.
Yeah.
And for her to do anything meaningful. She has to remember that, right?
Look at that water. I love those 2D water sprites. That is fan freaking tastic.
This used to give me heartburn, this sequence. Yeah. I hated the boating.
People love hate this this boat ride right here. This is
it's garbage.
This is a memorable moment in the Tomb Raider 2 series. She's pulling up her inventory. She's got health packs. That's another thing about the Tomb Raider series, the first three especially. You have unlimited pistol ammo, but you can pick up weapon upgrades, usually shotguns, that type of thing. And it's mostly you've got to be concerned about your health. And so you got to watch those health pickups, which are sparse. You got to locate them.
They're also enemies are bullet sponges in two. More than the first one. The first one, you could kill one of those cats in just a few shots. You could kill a dinosaur in 20 shots.
I know you can kill a T-Rex. Come on.
But in in this thing, that guard, he took what, 30 bullets before he hit the dirt? It's like, come on.
Yeah. He's like you said, he's a bullet sponge. Yeah. But you know, a little bit better, more polygons. We upped our polygon game. So Laura's got a little bit more instead of having the pyramid boobs.
Yep.
She's got a softer curves to her.
She has a couple other straight edges to her boob.
Right. More. Yeah, exactly. But she got flares this time around, which I really appreciated because this is a much darker game.
Yeah, big time.
Than the first one. The first one's very neutrally lit almost everywhere you go. Yeah. All the tombs have great lighting.
Yeah.
You'll notice right away. It's like, oh shoot, I wish I had some flares. And you go through your little backpack and go, oh, I do have flares. Sweet.
Yeah it's not
time
bad.
To fire them up.
I also really like, I felt like the pacing was better in two had a better sense of scale. Like you would walk into a space where a giant underground temple was, some ancient temple.
Right. And where a giant spider is waiting for you. Is that the one?
Yeah. But I don't know if it's the one with the spider, but I remember walking in there the first time, more than once in the game. Mm-hmm. And even though we're talking 98 graphics, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievably 97. 97. Overwhelmingly awestruck by just a giant temple with huge heads and weird serpent faces. Mm-hmm. And you got to solve these puzzles. And you would just be like, oh, I hate the save system in all of these games. I will say they're the worst. The worst.
The Windows system, you could save anytime you wanted. If you're on the PlayStation, I think in the Sega Saturn for the first one, you had to get to the save crystals, which means that was the starting point from wherever you saved. And I'm with you. That was a pain in the butt. I liked my emulator. That guy's hilarious too, by the way, on screen.
With his long,
stiff arms. Yeah. That just comes. Yeah, that's hilarious.
My buddy Andrew said something terrible that I will now share. I used to, because we play these games together quite a bit, most of these games.
Right.
PlayStation 1 era, me and Andrew hanging out at one house or the other, nonstop playing like Resident Evil. We played three times over with each other together. One guy on a controller, the other guy laughing and pointing and whatever. And we played this, and every time there's a save point or a health, little roll-up health thing, he'd go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to share this. He would say, hey, go sit on that dildo over there.
Nice.
And I'd go, dude.
What?
It's a health pack. It's a health pack over there. And he'd be like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, okay. And then he'd walk into another room, and there'd be another one in the corner kind of glow, and he'd go sit on that dildo over there. I think he had a real problem.
He was just as mature as you would expect someone of that age to be.
Now he's like a big shot realtor guy.
Love it.
And I just want to walk into one of his home sales. Like he'd be back in the house going, and over here we've got the dining set. As you can see, this area is very airy or whatever. And I just walk in and go, hey, dude, go sit on that dildo over there. Like I just want to do it. I just want to do it.
Just you get a little payback.
Yeah, a little payback.
You injured me.
This is you have these friends you just do everything with. That's what for me in the 90s. Me and him, everything.
This person is still in Italy. Now, a lot of this takes, I think it dropped off the Great Wall first. First of all, the opening to both of these games are just really weak story points of motivation. The first one, you're getting hired by someone, of course, the betrayal and everything else that goes along. In this one, you drop off to the Great Wall. you're working for an organization, except I think this is supposed to be part of your team or something. Then you go to Venice for some reason, but then you end up back in Tibet and China and
Venice a whole lot in two.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot. Too. Way more than you'd ever want to spend in Venice. I'm sure Venice is great. If I lived there, that'd be a different deal. But I don't want to go there as much.
There's no, how many tombs are in Venice? How many tomb raidings can you do in I don't know. I don't know that much. I know what I know about Venice is in what I've seen in movies.
Yeah, it's just a town living on water. That's what that is.
A town living on water, and occasionally people will drive through on Mini Coopers. That's all I know. That's it.
Yep, and guards with really bad AI who can soak up 15 bullets before they fall.
The AI is definitely still very weak here. Also still got the auto-aim stuff going on. But it's more refined. And this was the highest seller, I believe. This was one of the biggest
sellers
on the PlayStation.
Two was huge. By the time 3 came out, we were nearing the end of the PlayStation's era. And so I think that reflected that. But she just did something that pisses me off in all of these games. These muddy textures, right? So what will happen is they're so muddy that what will happen is if there's a switch in a room that you need to find and flip, there's no hints, there's no glowy anything, there's no arrow. You just have to find the damn thing. And it's often meshed inside of a texture where it's impossible to see that damn switch. Yeah. You just have to figure it out.
If you don't like backtracking, do not play Tomb Raider.
Don't play Tomb Raider.
Because you often will see the fastest path. You'll walk to where you need to go. And like, okay, I see where I need to go. Now I need to spiral my way up through these vertical levels and find where the switches are. And like Scott said, there's too many switches that just blend in with everything, and it's not funny.
No, there's nothing on screen that tells you where you are with your ammo count. You have to look in your inventory to see. So you could be blazing away on a dude with your bullets for whatever gun.
For your good guns,
and not know that you're down to 3. Like, none of that UI stuff we had figured out yet decided not to do yet. So the game is not... The game is not intuitive in some of those ways. I liked that at the time because I was like, everything was discoverable. It's like, whoa, this is amazing. I wonder how deep this goes. I wonder how this works. You know, like that kind of stuff was like fresh and new. These days we expect a little bit more, you know?
We expect so much more. Like a comparative game is like Uncharted in its themes. And it is much more, you know, a lot more quick time events, much more on rails. But you always feel like you know where you're going. You feel like the task is clear. You may choose a couple of different things, but for the most part, it's very linear. And that's not so true here. It's not in a good way. It's like good luck. They just throw you in there and go, good luck. And everything you have to learn. Like, you have to go, you, in the first one, you didn't have to necessarily go to Lara's mansion. I don't even know if it's even in the first one, but definitely in the second one, you go to Lara's mansion or home and you jump around, you learn how to do the jumps that you need for
later on.
It's like your
tutorial zone.
Yeah. It's a training zone. And we get introduced. We get introduced here to her butler and you're like, oh, okay, so she's not like the first time I played it in the first one, I remember thinking, oh, so maybe she's kind of like, she's like a Magnum PI. You know, she's living in some person's manor, you know, because that's what you do. And, you know, it's like so-and-so is away for the season, so I'm living here. And in the second one, you're like, oh, the Croft family is ridiculously rich. So she's kind of like, you know, a Bruce Wayne type. Is totally different than what I thought.
No, you're right. You're right. It's more about like she has daddy issues. And I don't mean like, you know, not in the stereotype way. I mean, her dad was killed. There's a lot of mystery around why. These games don't get into it that much. The newer ones do. But there's a whole story there. And she, you know, some of it's just straight up revenge and she doesn't know it. But that's what she discovers.
Betrayal is a huge thing in all these adventure games, right? That happens in all of them. I kind of like the Uncharted movie, even though people give it a lot of crap. I had fun.
I like that movie. Okay.
It's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Hate it the way people hate it. People are way too hard on that movie, I think, for what it is. It's fine.
But this kind of scratched my Sims itch. You know how much I love playing The Sims?
Oh, you love The Sims.
I love trapping people in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You can trap You can trap Jeeves. His name is not Jeeves, but people have nicknamed him that. The butler, he's old as crap, man. He farts. He walks around and he farts and he makes noises and tinks and it's crazy. But if you get tired of his getting in the way business, you can lock him in the freezer.
Yeah, which I didn't know at the time. I learned this years later. I didn't either. Bothered, but I love that. I love that you can do that.
Yeah.
Because, well, you know, Batman's done that to Alfred at least four times, you know.
Oh, it's the joke. It's what they do.
They really did go, hey, what if we took just a chunk of Batman and a chunk of Indiana Jones, and what if we mush those two things together, and now there's a game. Now we have a whole new, like, that really is what they did.
And it really is.
In some ways, Uncharted did a similar thing. Except they took this more mature Lara Croft deal and took Indiana Jones and mushed those things together and had this smart mouth talking, you know, Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Those games are brilliant. But I'm not sure they exist without Lara Croft. I don't know if without Tomb Raider, do we ever get Uncharted? I'm not sure.
I don't think not the Uncharted we got. I think that is a definite stepping stone. So like it's you know, like serials inspired Indiana Jones, Indiana Jones inspired Tomb Raider, and Tomb Raider and other things inspired Uncharted. I think there's a definite line. We wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't have what we have without this stepping stone.
I agree. I think it's important. Mm-hmm. It's important.
Prince of Persia, a real big influence.
Oh yeah.
On the realistic movement. This has got some really good realistic movement. And I saw some interviews talking about this as well. A lot of games during this time to cut down on having to do all the animations, it was used in motion capture. So they didn't do that here because they felt like they could have greater control over how it looks, and they did. And I love how the animation. I love the animation. There's more frames per second here too, as well, in this version. Mm-hmm. So you really feel like she's kind of coming alive.
Yeah, big time. And right now we're looking at 3. She's got jeans on.
We
got some new clothes. It sounded like this. A lot more ambient noise. Her clothes are very loud. This is the third game is a much more ambient game. They did not skimp on any of that stuff. You can hear, like, you know, every bird, every bug, every chirp, every whatever.
Another new team, by the way. It's like they just ate through the last team. So let's hire some more.
Hey, we killed the last guys. We need new guys in for the new Tomb Raider. Sweet. Get them in here. Let's start ruining their lives. It's bad precedent, I'm afraid. But it's a strong entry. I didn't like it as much as 2, but it was okay.
Right. The setting was now we're going to Antarctica.
Yeah.
We're going all over the world. We're doing South Pacific, Nevada, London, India. I like when you start off because you start off and you're sliding down a hill, and that's a lot of fun. You got to jump at the last second. It's just like every other Tomb Raider game. You have to die repeatedly. That's part of being an adventure, right? Like the Indiana Jones idea. He goes in there. He's already done this a million times, so he can escape through it. You got to do the same thing, but you got to figure it out by dying. A whole bunch of times.
Even the new games understand that. They had those. They were famous for those crazy deaths.
Sequences. And you feel so bad too, especially when she drowns. Yeah. It's like, she's like
drowning, or in the newer ones, she'd fall into a spike pit and just ooze down into these spikes. Oh. It's awful. My biggest problem with 3, honestly, and I'm seeing some of it here. The camera work is bad. It's really in your face and in the way. And
no improvement. No improvement on the camera system.
I'm not even sure. I think it's a step back on camera because they try to do more complex environments. And as a result, they put up more walls and more shit to have cameras get stuck in. And it just made it a more frustrating experience.
It gets a lot tighter. The first ones were more open. Of course, whenever you do that, that takes more processing. So if you put a bunch of walls up, it doesn't take as much.
Yeah. I think the character is a more mature version of Lara Croft. She's not just some, lady with boobs. She's.
I think they've actually reduced her proportions a little bit, and I actually like this character model pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. What was the one that was right after this, but there was a series of these games. Oh, these load screen portions, though. Oh my gosh, I forgot about these.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But they tried to be more cinematic. Whatever. I'll give them credit where it's due. But what was I going to say? I totally forgot. I forgot what I was saying. That's really great.
Something about graphics, something about models, and then
I don't remember.
Maybe she's a little hippier. Maybe she's a little hippier in this one. Maybe they went the Disney route. It's like we don't want to extenuate the boobs. We want to extenuate the hips. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, I don't know. She's just more of a badass. Like, I like her more in 3, but the overall game, yeah, I like less than 2.
Right. And this isn't this the one where they did the iconic swimsuit? They actually showed like in the movie. And this, I think.
Yeah, not swimsuit, but
yeah.
What do you call it?
With Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, but it's the thing. It's the, what do you call that? Like scuba thing. Whatever.
Scuba Steve.
Scuba Steve. I'm Scuba Steve. But look at this. Full on cutscenes, dynamic cameras, like 3 tries of shit. You know,
it really did. Like I said, I enjoyed it. But the thing I hated the most was I don't know if it happened in 2. In the first one, if you encountered an animal, you killed it. That was just if you see something move, you killed it. In 2, I want to say that was pretty true too, but I didn't play all the way through. 3, right off the bat, you had to start making choices. Do I want to kill this monkey or not? Because he's not going to bother me unless I run into his path and he might like swipe my leg and take like 1 health point away or something.
Yeah, what did that monkey do to you, really? You know?
Yeah, I mean, and if you follow the monkey, well, lots of times they'll appear because they're going to grab something and they're going to, you know, they're going to kind of lead you toward the path you got to be, because a lot of these textured walls, you're like, oh, where's the opening set? You can't find them because everything looks, you know, flat.
Yep.
But,
yep,
you know, if you watch a monkey go in and it disappears, like, oh, I need to go over there. And we haven't even talked much about the water and all these. It progressively getting better.
They do get better, but swimming. They got that hideous texture on top with like the little white ripples. Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah, it is bad. We really moved on from that. Thank God. There was 2 factors that you would look at in every Tomb Raider game that would come out. You would like, how's the ponytail tech and how's the water? Because that was always a major driver for those 2 things in quality of graphics.
Yeah, that's what you'd look for in the updates. And these, again, were year over year. They just kept making them.
Yeah, every 8 months, it's like, well, that one did good. Let's try it again.
I don't remember it feeling like that back then, but that's literally what it was. It was like Call of Duty. That's how they do Call of Duty now.
What hell was going on for those developers?
Do you remember this? There's a whole generation of kids who, this thing I just put
in. Oh my God.
They don't know what this is. They never seen this. Saving game to the memory card and memory card saving slot 1.
Game.
What does that even mean? What kind of psycho world do we live in?
I heard a story. Who was it? Well, somebody in the community this week was telling me, yeah, they got so far through, I can't remember which version of Tomb Raider it was, but they got really close to the end. And they had one of those third-party memory cards, which were prone to having corrupt saves.
All kinds of issues, yeah.
Oh, and they ran into a corrupt save.
Oh, dude.
That would be devastating.
I did that with, I think it was my first or maybe second run. Maybe it was second run because it didn't bother me as much because I'd already played it. But it was Wind Waker on the GameCube.
Oh,
I had a third-party card, and it corrupted during play. And when I went to do a new save or something, or no, I went to load something and it just jacked the card up. It just never worked. So I lost all my progress. What a stupid time. Stupid time.
I know. Well, it's just still the same though. Now it's just cloud saves.
Well, now it's hard drives. It's still hard drives and cloud saves, but I can't tell you the last time I had a save corruption. It's been.
No, me either, which is good. Thank
forever.
Goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Forever.
Not to mention, we've also kind of had it beaten into our head. Save often. So, otherwise, you know, I didn't save that often.
Well, plus games are getting better at just doing interval saves. So it's not so bad.
I'm saving that for you. Hey, moron, I'm saving that for you.
Hey, dummy. Here comes some saving. 3 is interesting. Worth checking out. But there was going to be a bit of a break there. Not really. Another year is all.
Yeah.
And you would be playing The Last Revelation. We're just going to mention these because, you know, we're heading into non-retro or less retro territory. But this is a PlayStation 1, Windows and Dreamcast release. And it is okay. It's not.
Yeah, it's more of the same. The really only reason to really mention it is PlayStation 1, Windows again.
Yeah.
But it's back on the Sega again, where it started. Originally, the first Tomb Raider was being developed on the Sega Saturn. They weren't even thinking about Sony because Sony said it did not stand up to their quality. And eventually it did. And the Sega Saturn kind of got pushed to the side a little bit. And now we all remember the PlayStation 1. But there was a time when it was going to be Tomb Raider and Sega, right? That was going to be the connection. Now all we think of when we think of Tomb Raider is PlayStation. I mean, there was Windows versions, but no, that PlayStation, that Sony PlayStation, that's just where it's at.
Yeah. And this version,
we had a Dreamcast version.
Yeah, the Dreamcast version was pretty tight. I liked it.
I wasn't a great fan of the Dreamcast version. I was a fan of the fact that Tomb Raider was on my Dreamcast.
Yeah, they're friends again. Sega and Eidos were friends, and that's enough for you, for Brian there.
That's all I need, man.
Tomb Raider. There were some handheld versions, a Game Boy Advance game and a Game Boy Color game. We're going to talk about that Color game for just a second, because the Game Boy Advance game is actually a little more advanced. In general, it's okay. It's an all right game.
Yeah.
But if you really want to see some OG business, go look at Tomb Raider from 2000. And unlike most Game Boy Color games, which lock down the sprite resolution of the player character, like at 16 to 32 pixels tall or something, they decided to make Lara 48 pixels high to accentuate her looks, which is a little weird. Yeah.
I think she could take on the T-Rex in this version. I think she could just bite his head off.
But I love the smooth rotoscopy looking animation on it. I like
I do love it. It very much reminds me of a cartoon. It's kind of cool. I kind of like it. It's side scrolling, but the animations are pretty detailed considering it's a unique look.
Prince of Persia style business.
Very much Prince. They finally got the Prince of Persia game they wanted to make.
Yeah, and I like that about it. It's not a bad game.
She looks so angry.
GBA game, pretty good too, but we're not going to talk about that one, but it's pretty good.
She's got some serious resting Lara face, though, in this one.
Yeah, she does. RLF. RLF.
Yeah.
Resting Lara face.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, I have resting bitch face, so I understand
the struggle.
That's a horrible curse. The other day, we had a comment on YouTube. I think it was for this show. Maybe it was for TMS. I don't remember which Brian. But we were on a show where we have our two screens right now looking at each other.
Right.
And someone said, oh, I just love the dynamic between these two. But why is Scott so grumpy and his face is so grumpy?
I'm like, what's wrong with him?
I have RBF, man. I just have RBF.
Yeah, who pissed in his cornflakes?
I wish I didn't have RBF. The only thing worse than RBF is my sister's RHF, which is resting helper face. Because
I'm a little bit bad about that sometimes.
She goes to like a Walmart or a Target or something, and 15 people ask her where something is because they think she's helpful and works there.
It happens all the time.
I know. No one wants to talk to me because I look pissed. And I'm not
right. Don't talk to even if he does work here. I don't want to ask him anything.
Like here's my resting face. Okay, I'll just do it.
Right. Oh my God, what are you so mad about, Scott?
I look pissed. So I have to go like this all the time.
Ooh, what are you so mad about, bro? Look like you're contemplating how life has cheated you.
It's annoying, dude. It's annoying to me.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's play this game.
Yeah.
Go play Tomb Raider, everybody.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess Our Game. We play a little audio from something old-ish, and we try to get each other stumped as to what it is. We can ask three questions. We can give other hints if we want as the owners of the clip. I'm going to start today with a game from... Where's my notes? It is from... Hold on. 92? From the year 1992. This is PC 92.
Oh, some PC, very political correct games.
Yes. And when I say PC, let me also say Amiga and what was the other one?
So 8-bit systems, essentially.
Yes.
Like Commodore 64, that era, Atari-ish stuff. Yeah, I got you.
Right around that time when things started to change, but yeah, that was it.
Right.
So here's your audio. Let's see if you can figure it out. Here you go.
How are you going to find that statue and all this junk? He thought this was a Maasai warrior, some kind of funeral urn. It's a stone carving of Shiva. It's a medieval gargoyle, or good imitation. It's a copy of an Egyptian statue of Horus.
All right, any ideas? Statue and all this
junk. He thought this was a Maasai.
It definitely feels like you decided to go with like The Dig or Indiana Jones or something.
Yeah, so what I wanted to do is, this is a good hint. I wanted to find something that was thematically compatible with today's main topic. I'll put it
right. It's a stone carving of
Shiva. Someone in the chat already, a bunch of people in the chat already know, actually.
Right.
I'm impressed.
Oh, really good. Yeah. Okay, so let's see. It's PC. Who's our developer on this one?
This is... Oh, that's a... I guess I have to give it to you. It's one of your questions.
Oh, is it the name of the game?
It's no, but it's going to make things more obvious. It is LucasArts is the answer.
Okay, LucasArts. All right, right.
So you can probably infer by that that this is very point and click because this is that era. All right.
Right. Is it an Indiana Jones game? Is it?
I'm going to say you're very, very close to the final title. Very close.
Okay. Oh, it's Indiana Jones adjacent, right? It's part of the series, right?
I'm going to say it is.
But it doesn't have the name in it. Is what you're saying?
Yes, I will say that's your third question. I will say it has the name Indiana Jones in it, but what's the rest?
Okay. So that must be kind of gave me a clue there. That must be is it Fates of Atlantis?
Is it? Close. It's I'll give it to you. It's The Fate of Atlantis.
Oh, I'm gonna get The Fate.
Not The Fates. There's only one. As far as I know, there's only one Fate.
Right.
But yeah, no, you're close enough. I'll give you that one.
All right. Good.
I think you deserve a win on that one.
Yeah, that's I hope mine is as easy. I was kind of worried about having so much dialogue because you start naming names and stuff and you start getting inflections and you're like, okay, I know what this is.
Usually
we just do music.
I mean, that guy sounds nothing like... He's supposed to be Indiana Jones. Listen to this.
No, you can definitely tell he was inflecting Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it doesn't sound anything like him. It's like it's not even close. Listen to this.
It's a stone carving of Shiva.
That's not him.
No,
it's a stone carving of Shiva.
But he does kind of have that attitude like it, though. It does sound like him, but it doesn't sound nothing like him all at the same time.
Yeah, it's kind of poopsky.
People have been asking me to play this one lately too. We got to review this one.
This one's
come up a couple of times lately.
It's a quality game, actually. It's really good.
Yeah.
All right, excellent work. Let's do mine now. What's my year? What's my thing? Platform and all
that. The year is 1997, and I got mine so easy and quick. I think I'm going to give you a clue that it would easily fit in with next week's topic that we decided on.
Oh.
PC 1997.
Okay. Well, let's play it. Here we go.
Last time I had a 3 was when some hooker vomited Thunderbird on Bryant's desk, and yours truly led the cleanup crew.
Oh, is this the point and click, the Blade Runner game?
It absolutely is.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Adventure, Westwood Studios.
I played that game. I loved that game.
Yeah. Yes, oh, I know. And I was so excited when you started talking about, because we started about all this cyberpunk stuff, and I was like, oh, that would be perfect.
Yeah, no, perfect. I love that game. Didn't they just recently do a remake and everyone was mad because it wasn't good or something? Hold on. Blade Runner game remake. I think this happened. Oh man!
Yeah, the enhanced edition. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mixed reviews. Released last year.
Yeah, people thought it looked like hot garbage at the time. I don't know what.
Yeah, let's see what people are saying. Bucks. Awful version. Game keeps skipping some actions while shooting. Enhanced version is terrible. It just adds some anti-aliasing all over the background. Really only worth it for the original CD version that was packaged. Oh, and after the patch, okay. So I guess you get the original as well. Okay.
Good job with the enhanced edition. I'm recommending Blade Runner. I mean, I loved that game, so I really was looking forward to this remake, and it's poop.
Yeah.
But it's $9. Maybe it's worth trying. I don't know.
$9. Look at us. Look at us doing some pretty quick and easy guess my games this week. Yeah, look at us.
That was a cool game.
Yeah.
Congratulations, everyone. We all win. We're winners today here on the show. Well done. Now this.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Treasure room.
Oh, my. Today we begin with an email. We're going to do two things today, a call and an email. The email came to playretroshow@gmail.com from Gray is his name, G-R-E-Y.
Oh, yeah, Gray, the Gray.
Gray. That was a movie with Liam Neeson I saw called The Gray.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that. I just watched the extended edition of The Hobbit, and Gandalf is still gray in those.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's pretty gray until he's white, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. He says, hi, guys. Oh, wait till you see this project my daughter's working on. I'm just going to sneak peek it. She's doing... I haven't told anyone about this.
This is not the email, by the way. This is Scott.
No, it's something totally different. Because you reminded me of Lord of the Rings stuff and reminded me of it. She's making a Lord of the Rings, bunch of art prints that are Lord of the Rings inspired Western scenarios. So the sheriff is... The town sheriff has a deputy who whispers in his ear that's worm tongue, and the sheriff looks like shit.
Right.
Gandalf and Saruman are like tall, gentlemanly, white suited guys with like the little bowler ties and everything. And they've got like stuff on them that's definitely references to the thing. She's got a shootout between an Uruk-hai and what's his name? Freaking can't think of his name all of a sudden. Sean Bean's character.
Right.
Anyway, Boromir.
Boromir.
So it's like a standoff. It looks like a high noon shooting, except this is where Boromir gets killed. Mm-hmm. But it's in this case it's quick draw McGraw. All the hobbits are like local townspeople, are just simple folk, milking cows and all that. She just did this whole. It looks so good.
That's really smart.
I can't wait for you to see it.
That's so good. Tolkien was trying to do with bring modern fantasy.
Yeah.
With some modern takes, and there's no more original story that Americans have than the Old West.
The Old West, it's our mythology, man. It's what we get.
It's our mythology. Yep.
Yeah, all you old countries, thousands of years of history, you get your weird Celtic, lore, and you get your Norse mythology and your whatnot, your Greek gods and all that. We didn't get any of that shit. Mm-mm. We came over here just a few hundred years ago. And so what do we
got? We got people riding on horses and pooping in hats.
Yeah, we got Old West, man. Woo. Six shooters and revolvers and crazy tales, and I love it. It's one of my favorite things ever. Okay. Sorry, this email says, love the show. I listen and watch every week. Curious when we will see the first Play Retro / Film Sack crossover with Cloak and Dagger. Love playing the game at our neighborhood Fuddruckers. I almost said that wrong. as a kid, and also enjoyed the movie with Dabney Coleman. Keep up the important work you do, Gray. That might be a fun way to coincide those.
I think it would be great. It's a great angle. We're always looking for good angles on retro gaming, and that's a really good angle because I love that movie.
Yeah.
Well, I remember loving that movie, and
we'll see how it holds up. I'm not so sure about
that. Yeah. Well, see, you almost said Fuddruckers wrong. You was going to say Fud Truckers.
Nope. Is that I was going to say something very different. I was going to say. Pud, no.
Pud Ruckers. You got to take it slow. You can't speed through that one. That one will get you in trouble.
Because what is it? Because if you said Rudd Effers,
yeah,
I don't know. Freaking no, I don't know.
Right,
that word's
it's easy to know. Rudd. That's how you start. That's how you do it. That's how you go wrong. If you start with the Rudd first, that's how you
start with the Rudd. You end up saying Paul Rudd and whoever.
Yeah, don't do that.
Whoever F's Paul Rudd, don't do that. we got a call as well. Check this out. We got a call about our episode with Gauntlet, and it goes like this.
Scott, this is Scott Waldeck. I was reviewing your old Gauntlet for retro, and I noticed you missed a PC game called Get Medieval. It's 40 levels, has bosses, and it's actually quite funny. You might want to check it out. You'll see it on YouTube if you want to see it. And you can get it on CD. I got a copy. Bye.
Okay. I didn't get the name exactly. Hold on.
Get Retro. Medieval, I believe it was.
Let's see.
Got a PC game called Get Medieval.
Get Medieval.
Yeah, Get Medieval. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that because I've had the hardest time figuring out.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. I like what I'm looking at here. Old games download. Okay, interesting.
It's like you can get it this is considered a band.
That is some gauntlet love here, isn't it? This is a... Oh yeah, I like this, and the graphics are really cool too. I like all these.
Oh my gosh, dude!
Yeah, that's beautiful.
This is like, what era is this? This cover art alone,
98 was the initial release. Wow,
people like it.
Yeah, I like it. I'm down with it.
Play it. I don't know where to get it, Brian. You get it.
You can get it on. Yeah, there's a bunch of places. It looks like it's probably it's Abandonware. So, you can get it on myabandonware.com.
Get some Diablo vibes out of this art.
Oh, like totally. Diablo, they've got 1. Like a Diablo looking character. So Diablo looking.
Yeah, Diablo 1 for sure. That's weird.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for
I
that.
I like it. That's a great suggestion. Who was that again? What was their name?
Scott is also his name. His name Scott. Is Scott. Yep.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Well, thank you, Scott. We appreciate it. And glad you're enjoying the show. Keep coming back for more. And maybe one day we'll get to that game, or we'll at least bring it up and talk about it more. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows what we'll
who
do?
Who knows?
Our next game is going to be Syndicate and Cyberpunk shit. All right.
Syndicate and Cyberpunk shit. I forgot I wrote that.
You wrote shit.
Hilarious. I love when people read back what I said and when it was stupid.
That'll be great because in a lot of ways, the aesthetic of what is considered a cyberpunk aesthetic today in various games, right. Ghost Runner or, I don't know, the what's that one where you go underground? It's on Game Pass and PlayStation Plus. I forgot the name of it.
Yeah.
Underground or. It's all red. Crimson Hole or something like that. Whatever it is.
Crimson Hole.
I don't remember.
But get out of my Crimson Hole.
I don't know that these games have a good aesthetic without some of the early versions of this stuff. And Syndicate is absolutely one of these.
Right.
And we'll talk about it. We'll talk about the 360 game that everyone should have played but didn't. It was amazing. That shooter was incredible. I cannot believe not enough people played it. So what happened is EA said, we're not going to do another one then. Because that's what EA does. EA doesn't do it for the art. They do it for the money, and that bummed me out.
And the art's right in the name.
It's right in the name. Look at that. It's also, you know what else is in that name? Dickit. Anyway.
Dickit.
So that's what we're doing next week, all right? We're going to do that. Come back for that so you PC people getting some love next week for some of your old games. In the meantime, I would like you to all support us if you can at patreon.com/playretro. Be like Dennis Rhodes, Gordon Williamson, Scott McKeon, just three of our cool patrons if you want to be like them, and I know you do, and get some rad stuff in the mail, no commercials ever, pre-show content every week, and other benefits. Go read about it. patreon.com/playretro today.
My butler's in the freezer.
Yep. Look at you over there mounting all your shit. What do we got going there?
Look at that. I got a little 3D print with a grippy hand.
That's great. That's what life's about. And then those skeletons don't know what to think. They're just like, what?
They're like, oh, no, my God.
Yeah, they don't.
I can't believe it.
This is Halloween-y as hell, what you got going here. Anyway, please do all those things, and we'd love your support. That would be fantastic. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com for all your emails. If you want to send us any texts or voicemails, 801-471-0462, and everything can be found at frogpants.com/playretro. Big thanks, everybody, for watching, listening, hanging out, and especially you live people. You're the best. That's going to do it for us. Brian, anything you want to add before we go here?
I think we're going to thaw out some meat, and his name is Jeeves.
Oh, man, that's a great idea. Lock him in the room. Mm-hmm. We'll deal with him later. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Go play something retro, and we'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
My secret is Dreamcast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.